We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hockman and Crowder simulcast. We brought in our friend George Sedano. This hour is brought to you by Toyota of Hollywood. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms. At Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Let me give everybody the code word here. Start out the hour on the good foot because pocket an extra $1,000. Anybody would enjoy that.
Yeah.
And buy a lot of stuff with an extra $1,000 laying around your pocket.
We can't
and this
win.
This is Channing's change. I mean, they're stealing it right from, Crowder keeps about $1,000 here and there underneath the floorboards in the car.
You know, like, that's a lot.
$1,000 there.
Mold.
Time for your chance to win Channing's change. The word this hour is backstage. Backstage. Not spelling it out for you. It's just two easy words. Just put them together. Backstage. Text backstage right now to 72881. You've got a chance to win $1,000. Again, text backstage right now to 72881, and you could win $1,000 of Channing's change. Your next chance to win will be the top of the next hour, so about 4 o'clock, it's a national contest. Message and data rates may apply.
We have a backstage guy with us right now.
I mean, Jorge Sedano is behind the door at every
yes.
basketball arena.
Yeah.
He's hobnobbing with all the important people. We were just talking in the last segment. I want to get your take on this because you're an NBA guy. Zion Williamson, I think he's a game changer.
Yeah.
Crowder thinks he is a real limited player. We've all seen the shot chart from the first preseason game where it was all in the paint. And you feel like the game today is just so different that he's not going to be able to thrive, right?
Yeah, just what I saw in college. You watch his highlight reels, all dunks. And he's a crazy athlete, 14 feet off the ground. I've seen all the metrics.
Mm-hmm.
But just the skill level, the skill set of getting him the ball and getting out the way, I don't know if he has that.
See, I disagree slightly. I think he's an underrated passer. He's actually a guy that can get the ball to other guys and get them in the right position. I think that that's something that we don't really focus on when it comes to his game because he doesn't handle the ball all that much, but he makes the right play when the ball comes to him when he's not just dunking, right? He was a 37% shooter at Duke, not a lot of volume, but the shot isn't broken per se. It's not like when Lonzo Ball was shooting the ball. I think that he's 19 years old. Like, I'm not ready to cap him yet at 19 years old. Like, I feel like that's
he can develop
a little aggressive. You know what I mean?
But develop, yes. But they're talking like rookie of the year, you know,
NBA
all-star type guy.
I think he's a game changer. I will tell you this, just from a curiosity standpoint, Crowder, because we get to see the numbers. I mean, everyone saw what he did in that 9 minutes of summer league. Like, the number of people watching the game was like a regular season NBA game, and he only played 9 minutes. He's going to be on your television screen a lot because every time he's been on in the preseason, the numbers have been outrageous, just out of curiosity, and he's got the right personality. It's not just that he's this crazy force, right, when he goes to the basket, but he knows how to work his teammates in. I'm not talking about just on the court. I'm talking about, like, every time he tries, people want to do an interview with him, he's like, well, can I do it with one of my teammates? Can I do it with Lonzo or Brandon or JJ? Like, he's very affable, and I think all that stuff will draw people to him. As long as his game develops at a decent pace, he's going to be fine. LeBron couldn't shoot early in his career. Now, he's not LeBron. I'm not comparing him to that. But I do think that he can be a real impact player and a multi-time All-Star. Yes.
What about our Rookie of the Year candidate down here, Tyler Hero?
So I saw the 5 Reasons Ethan Skolnick thing had a poll about, like, who he is, and I responded to it because I thought people here have lost their mind a little bit.
I mean, they're
Tyler
crazy.
Hero.
They're Tyler Hero crazy down here.
Yeah, they are, and I get it. Look,
Solana says he's as good as MJ, but with a better 3-pointer.
Yes, that's exactly what he is. So on their poll, they had Redick, Mike Miller, Klay Thompson, or Steph/Trey, and I voted on Mike Miller because people forget Crowder, you went to Florida.
Yes.
Mike Miller was a baller coming out of college. He could handle the ball. He could shoot. He could get to the basket. People here only remember Mike Miller, the role player late in his career.
Yeah, one shoot
Mike,
three.
Mike Miller was the fifth pick in the draft, and he was a guy Yeah. Absolutely.
I didn't remember that.
Yeah. Mike was a monster now.
Yeah, he was a monster, dude. Like, he was really, really good. Now, he was probably early in his career, in his prime, he probably should have been like the third or fourth best player on a championship team, but he was on crappy teams, Minnesota, Memphis, or whatever. But yeah, like, Mike Miller was incredible when he came out of college. I think Tyler's got a little better handle, maybe even than Mike, which says a lot. But these comparisons, like on this poll, I'm seeing Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson is an elite perimeter defender. Klay Thompson, I think, is the third best two-way player in the NBA behind Kawhi and Paul George. Like, I don't think Tyler Hero will ever be the defender that Klay Thompson is.
Would you be happy, though, Solana, if Tyler Hero is Mike Miller-esque? Is that enough for you?
Mike Miller without the wheelchair? Yes, definitely. But
early Mike Miller.
Yeah, I mean, I think his ceiling is higher people, than that,
yeah,
though.
See, I think he speaks for Heat Nation,
yeah.
The unhinged Heat Nation,
yeah.
That think Tyler Hero, like, he's talking about, Brian Windhorst tweeted out, those of you that have Tyler Hero at Rookie of the Year at 100-1 have a steal.
Yeah, it's a good bet. I mean, I would bet, I think he's going to finish second or third, you know? Like, I think that's really possible. I think he's going to get more votes maybe than an R.J. Barrett in New York. I think that's absolutely possible. And I think he's going to be a really good player in this league. He could be like a two- or three-time All-Star. But, you know, Luol Deng is a two-time All-Star. Mike Miller was a couple-time All-Star. Like, that's, like, those guys shouldn't be knocked. Like, we look at those guys as role players because that's what people here saw at the end of their careers. But, man, those guys were awesome early in their careers.
And, George, as you talk about players and Tyler Johnson, you brought up defense. I think you're one of the only people still bringing up defense to evaluate a player because James Harden wins
right.
MVP, and he can't defend my mom if she had a J. Like,
she's got a good move, though.
But the fascinating part, even James Harden's defense has expanded more so in the post. Like, what happened was a lot of teams over the last 2 years have been trying to challenge him because they believe what you believe, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's just going to give up there. And I think he was in like the top 10% of post defenders this year. Now, granted, most of those are small forwards and guards going up against him, but he's sturdy enough where that part of his game had developed because he just got tired of everyone challenging him, and he almost now invites them into the post to do that stuff because he knows that he's bigger and stronger, has more girth. But yeah, look, I do think that defense matters. Look at the three guys I mentioned, or the two guys I mentioned with Klay. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are top 10 players in this league. Klay is just outside of that. To sit here and say right now at 19 years old that Tyler Hero is going to be that is also a place I'm not comfortable going, much like when we talked about Zion,
yeah.
Where you were saying that you think he's too limited. I'm not willing to go that way.
If you were basing it just off summer league and three exhibition games.
I mean, Tyler Hero's a Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. You've got to wait for a little bit more, Solana.
And I get it. Look, Heat fans, you've watched bad basketball here the last couple of years.
We need something to sink our teeth into. So, that's part of it.
Yeah, I think that plays a huge role in this. But this team is going to – have no fear. This team is going to be good. This team is going to be about 46 to 48 wins. They're going to be somewhere between a 3 seed and a 6 seed, depending on health. And people laugh at me when I say 3 seed, but I absolutely think that. Like, look at the last time Eric Spoelstra had a top 15 player, and I think Jimmy Butler is a top 15 player. They won 48 games. They finished, I believe, in the 3rd seed, and that was 2016. That was the year Bosh got sick again for the last time. And Luol Deng was playing power forward, and it was Dwayne and Hassan and Goran was on the team. Like, this team is as good as that, I think.
This roster is tailor-made for Spo, especially because he doesn't have to figure out minutes for Hassan Whiteside, which I think he abhorred every season he had to do that.
Yeah, he was done with Hassan Whiteside, a long, long time ago. And I was stunned that they were able to move him. But CJ and Dame, I had this conversation with somebody who's close to Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. And I said, bro, what's up with your boys wanting Hassan? They're like, man, they think they love him. They think they can make him something. And I'm like, well, God bless them, because they're going to hate him after about 25 games.
Man, we love him for a half a season, though.
They will. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, do we love him.
We gave him $100 million.
$100 million. We had to beat Mark Cuban to the door to get him.
Good Lord.
George Sedano's in studio with us. ESPN's George Sedano. There's a few things that I want to get to with him. He's going to hang out for a couple segments with us. But I know that that he went to the Hurricanes game on Friday night, and he's watching what's going on down here, obviously, with the Dolphins as well. Let's get headlines, though, with Alejandro Solana.
Headlines are brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Oddsmakers have slightly downgraded Patrick Mahomes' chances of defending his MVP title. Russell Wilson now has the best odds, according to sportsbetting.ag.
Russell Wilson's have a great season. I'm a huge fan of Deshaun Watson. You know how I feel about him.
But why do they have to knock Mahomes to put Russell on the pedestal? Like, Russell's just balling. Why do they have to say Mahomes is doing something wrong? They're both playing well.
Well,
Russell's just playing out of this world.
Who do you think is going to be the odds-on favorite to win the MVP? If you thought, like, if you were laying your money right now, is it Mahomes or is it Russell Wilson?
It is that little white running back in Carolina.
Christian McCaffrey.
That boy's
special. I tell you what, what are his odds? Is he on the list there, Solana?
He's got to be in the top five.
Yeah, he's in the top five. He's at 9-1 tied with Aaron Rodgers.
That might actually be a decent flyer at 9-1.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it is Russell Wilson right now if I had a vote. Mahomes' ankle injury, I think, has cost him a little bit. I think that's been kind of the thing. The left ankle has been bothering him. I mean, pretty much all season, because you remember that happened in week one where he kind of got dinged up and it kind of got worse as time went by.
What else you got, Solana?
Tonight is a doubleheader in the baseball world. We have ALCS Game 3 at 4:08 p.m. in New York. George, do the start times bother you as much as they bother me?
He's fixated on the off-hour start
time. The 8:07 kind of thing?
8:05, 4:08, what's up with that?
That's just so they can get extra commercials in. That's just how that thing works. By the way, Yankees plus 143. Book it tonight.
Really?
Yeah, I like it.
Giancarlo Stanton not in the starting lineup again, right?
Yeah, that's fine. Whatever. Yeah. They haven't needed him all year. So.
Yeah, game 4 between Washington and St. Louis. Washington can sweep at 8:05 p.m. The Dolphins are 17-point underdogs heading into Buffalo this Sunday.
I'm taking that bet. I'm taking the Bills, laying the points.
I got the Bills at 15.5 on Sunday. That to me is money in the bank.
I think they are going to put the hammer down on the Dolphins. Yeah. I think they wait for a game like this. This is a year that they can actually do that. Yeah. And I think the fact that, you know, people, it's recency bias. Every time we talk to a prognosticator, they go, don't get caught with recency bias. People start to go, oh, the Dolphins are starting to put it together. They were in position to win the game on Sunday. They were playing one of the worst teams.
Yes.
They were playing the other team that might be worse than them.
But the Bengals and the Redskins are in that category, yes.
Yep, that's it. So I'm going to lay the points with the Buffalo Bills. What else you got, Solana?
The Heat are off until Thursday. They're in Orlando. The Panthers are off until Friday when they host Colorado. And finally—
Wait a second. I thought the Panthers were supposed to be good. What the hell happened?
Did you see what they did yesterday?
They won 6-4. They were down 4-1.
What are they, 2-2-2?
2-2-2.
That's a hot start for the Panthers.
I mean, yeah, they're usually pretty terrible to start.
It's a hot start.
I guess that's fair.
Finally turned it around.
Yeah. Bobrovsky's playing a little possum. Yeah. Not letting the league know what he got.
Yeah.
Anything else, Solana?
Yeah, and finally, Miami was rated the 4th best driving city in the nation.
Get out of here.
That is true. I saw that. I don't get it.
Drivers?
Fourth best driving city in the nation.
Now, does that mean because you have to always be on the defensive and the aggressive that that's why you're a good driver?
You're on top of your game, or else you're going to get
Get
slaughtered.
There's not a time I land here that within the first 10 minutes of me arriving, there's not two times where I almost got into an accident.
My brother was planning on moving here and then drove once on 95. He said, I'm not moving here.
One of me and my wife's biggest problems is she yells at me. She says, why the hell do you turn on your turning signal so much? You're wasting time. Nobody else uses their turning signal.
Yeah, because they're
going to. I'm a turning signal guy.
They're going to be all up on you. All right, you got weather, Solana?
Always have weather. It is brought to you by Hialeah Park right now in SoFla.
Oh. I hate when you say that.
We know.
No, that's what we say down here, George.
No.
SoFla.
No one ever says that other than you.
85 degrees and partly cloudy. You can expect 0 inches of snow tonight. Win a brand new $45,000 Mercedes-Benz at Hialeah Park Casino. Get free entries every Saturday and earn more entries playing slots every day now through November 30th. Grand prize Mercedes-Benz giveaway Saturday, November 30th at Hialeah Park Casino.
Nothing on the dander count for
The dander level still extreme, Hawk.
All right, extreme dander level, so be careful out there.
Yeah, I will.
George Sedano is going to hang in studio with us for a while here. I do want to talk some Hurricanes and Dolphins with him and continue talking Heat as well. And maybe we'll get to the Don Bailey Jr. calls with him if he wants to be entertained. Are you not entertained? Hockman and Crowder simulcast. We're doing it with Sedano today.
Boaters like me, it's about to cool cool down. You're going to be out on that boat, but you know the hassle of trying to find the right place to keep your boat looking good all the time without breaking the bank. I have your solution. Go see my homeboy Marty at R&M Marine Supply. R&M has it all. They carry every paint pigment, gel coat with or without wax, bottom paints, all sort of interior and exterior waxes. But the best part of R&M, I always tell y'all, is the knowledge and expertise that Marty will bring. It's like having a family member that's been working on boats your whole life. I send a picture of Marty. Anything that happens to my boat, he'll have a box ready for me. Everything I need with step-by-step directions on how to get my boat looking great again. They carry fiberglass products, all washes and waxes you will ever think of, and the knowledge to handle all those maintenance projects to keep your boat looking tip-top shape. Go holler at Marty. I'm telling you, he'll give you his personal number. You can call him, FaceTime him while you're doing the project, and he'll walk you through it. R&M Marine Supply is located at 3350 Northwest South River Drive in Miami, right by the Miami International Airport. Give Marty a call, 305-634-6767. He'll walk you through any project step by step, 305-634-6767, or visit him on Facebook or online at rnmmarinesupply.com. For everything to keep your boat looking great, visit R&M Marine Supply.
ESPN's Jorge Sedano, Hialeah Zone, is in studio with us. He continues conversing with us next on Hochman and Crowder. I wish I was a little bit taller. Speaking of, you know that I relate to this song. Our friend Big Will on Twitter just did a Photoshop of me as Tyler Hero, blowing by you, stuck in the mud, almost like Crowder.
Don't take a shot.
Almost
at
like
me.
Crowder's covering a tight end there. I'm like Anthony Gonzalez. George Sedano is in studio with us. He's going to be in studio with us for a couple of segments here.
Cleveland Clinic Florida is here for you with our nationally recognized orthopedics and sports health. Stop playing through the pain and let us get you back in the game and back to your life. Whether you need help keeping up, running further, or just staying on course, our team is here for you anytime, anywhere. We got you. Find your way to the best care at clevelandclinicflorida.org/ortho. Get that body feeling great at Cleveland Clinic.
We are doing the Hochman and Crowder simulcast plus one. ESPN's George Sedano's in studio with us, and we were talking a lot of Heat in the last segment, but I did want to ask you, because I know you're at the Hurricanes game on Friday night, what did you think the vibe was at Hard Rock Stadium? They were, 2-3 going into that game. It was a nice victory, a much-needed victory. What'd you feel about the vibe, though?
So let me do this. Like, let me just explain the entire process here. So I'm driving up there. I was downtown, so it took a while.
So
about
rainy
an hour
too.
And 15 minutes, rain, regular traffic. It's brutal. And I finally get to the turnpike from 95, and then I breeze in, and I'm going, ooh, that's not a good sign. There's nobody here. And very early on, there wasn't a lot of people there. The diehards were there, certainly, and you got to give those guys a lot of respect because the Canes have diehards. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And those people are there, rain or shine. And I thought the team came out great early, and I thought the place had energy despite the fact it wasn't a sold-out place. I thought the fans that were there were fantastic. But, man, Dan Enos, you take him off the script, and good Lord – is that a struggle?
There's been some criticism of him, I'd say, more than anybody on the coaching staff.
Yes.
Right?
Especially with Manny Diaz being a part of the defense. Now, you know Dan is the dude offensively, and that play calling is questionable a lot of the time.
Yeah. So, N'Kosi Perry is kind of a little bit of a quarterback controversy, George, because N'Kosi Perry looked good the last couple of games, but Jaren Williams, what were you saying, Solana, that he took snaps today, Jaren Williams, in practice?
Yeah, he did, but N'Kosi took first-team snaps and took the majority of the snaps.
You have a guy that you would lean to one way or the other?
I think that offensive line is so bad, you have to take the guy who's mobile.
That's the problem. Like, I said to Crowder, and I really believe this, like, those people that are so quick to pull a trigger on, you know, Manny Diaz or whatnot, I go, this guy had nothing to do with recruiting those offensive linemen, and that offensive line is so porous that any quarterback back there is going to have some trouble. This is the same thing with the Dolphins, though, as well.
But even, George, how do you feel about the hot hand approach? Because it seems like Jaren beat him out, but then N'Kosi walked in, what was that, Virginia Tech game, and was the one that brought him back after Jaren threw three picks in seven pass attempts. How do you feel about a team having that hot hand approach at quarterback?
Man, you went to Florida. Steve Spurrier famously said, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have any.
Yeah.
So I just firmly still believe in that. Like, I think that adage is true in a lot of ways, particularly in college. I think that I know that Chris Leak and Tebow used to kind of get in and out. But, it was mostly short yardage situations.
But, so Dan Mullen and Flores doing that right now with Trask
and
Emory Jones.
I didn't like that either. Yeah.
But even they have their packages.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Emory's the wildcat-looking guy. You know Trask going to run the offense. UM goes with a real – they run the same offense.
Yes.
It's just which guy feels better on that night. I'm not a fan of the hot hand approach.
I'm not. I'd rather just go with a guy. But I think that he's at least – like, he's played some, obviously, prior to this year, and just the mobility factor. Hell, I mean, Tate Martell must not be that good. This kid was a five-star recruit, didn't lose a game in high school, at a powerhouse high school at Gorman in Vegas, and I guess he just doesn't throw the ball well enough.
We've had a number of people tell us off the air.
Yeah.
He's as inaccurate as any quarterback they've ever seen, and that I had one person tell me, if he sniffs the field as quarterback, you're in trouble. Like, that's how bad he is, which is why he shifted to wide receiver.
You don't buy he's, like, just a gamer? You know what I mean? Like,
a Tebow in the NFL where, hey, just get him behind center and he'll get you a W?
I mean, could that many – look, I understand that 15 years ago, and I was a super critic of it, of the star system, was different. But now there's tape everywhere, okay? Everybody's watching video. Everyone's watching these kids. There's a real investment in high school recruiting. Like, that's not – it's not what it was even 5 years ago, let alone 10 or 15 years ago. Can everyone miss on him? Because there's not a lot of five stars given out anymore.
Well, but conversely, though, could everybody be wrong that's seen him in practice since he transferred? This was tailor-made for him to come in and be starting quarterback.
Right.
It was tailor-made. Could everybody misread what's been going on in practice?
I mean
he's got to look that bad for this to happen.
One would think, but, man, it's just wild that that many people missed on him because you don't see that many five stars miss as far as the college game, right? Like, it happens here and there, but it's very rare these days as opposed to even a couple of years ago.
And then it's all – and I hate this argument with Tua where he went to Bishop Gorman, and they have their five stars.
Right.
You know, it's the Alabama of high school, if you want to put it that way. Where he was playing with those great players, and he was throwing the ball up and letting 6'5", 6'6" receivers jump and get it. Now he's playing against people that are even talented to his other players on his team.
So I know this could be sacrilege here in Miami because I love this man too, but you're basically saying he was mobile Ken Dorsey.
Yes. Bingo.
We were talking about Ken Dorsey yesterday.
Yeah.
We were talking about him yesterday. But, you know, one of the things about playing, you know, quarterbacks by committee almost nowadays, I think you have to take into account the transfer portal. Like, if you don't keep your quarterbacks happy, they'll be gone next season. There's been talk that Jaren Williams, like, if he were to lose the job now back to Nakosi Perry, Jaren Williams could easily enter that transfer portal.
Here's what I think the Canes need to do, man. And I was having this conversation with someone at the game the other day. Go get yourself these Midwestern offensive linemen, three-star guys who go to Iowa and Pitt.
Wisconsin. And, you remember before that Miami-Wisconsin, the first bowl game 2 years ago?
Yeah. They destroyed them.
Crowder and I were at Dave & Buster's. We were meeting some friends and whatnot.
And both teams walked in at the same time.
They were having an Orange Bowl function at Dave & Buster's. And these Wisconsin linemen walk in, and Crowder says, "Dunzo,
right.
That's all I need to see.
Yeah. That's what they need to do is go to the Midwest and get yourself a three-star guy. It doesn't matter that he's not – I mean, a four-star offensive lineman in Florida is not as good as a three-star offensive lineman in the Midwest. It's just a different breed of football, right? And that particular grouping, position grouping, I think that's the area you need to go. When Miami was at its best, okay, the last time, which is now, God, almost 20 years ago, you know, those guys, the Brett Rombergs, the Matt Biblas.
Ken Dorsey didn't get touched.
Those guys, I mean, really, very few of them. Joaquin Gonzalez was a local kid, right? Yeah. But where was McKinney from? McKinney, he wasn't a South Florida kid, I don't believe.
I know Vernon Carey was on that
Vernon
line.
Carey.
He's a Miami guy.
Right.
Romberg.
Right, but a good chunk of those guys were guys from outside.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that that's kind of something you have to think about.
That's why I tell people UGA will always be good because they get those guys from the middle dirt of Georgia. Haven't seen a TV in their life, but all they do is eat beef and work out for the entire lives. And that's why Georgia's always going to be relevant in the SEC.
Brian McKinney was Woodbury, New Jersey. Speaking of high school football, Crowder's team that he's the defensive coordinator for is now ranked number 2
in the state. He told me.
How about that?
Going to Clearwater this Friday to show off what we have. Continuing.
Are they good?
Headed to the playoffs. They're decent.
Yeah.
Big run game, but you know that. You know that 3-4, George. We're going to have something.
Tell him what your defensive scheme is, Crowder.
Blitz the hell out of him.
Yeah.
Not exactly what he says.
I would do.
He uses different words.
Yeah, I know.
That's my on-air approach.
Yeah.
Send the house.
Hell hell out of them.
Those kids can't handle that.
That's quarterback. Make a decision real
we
fast.
We just talked about the offensive lines here in Florida. I mean,
NFL is struggling to find linemen.
Right.
College is struggling to find linemen consistently.
Yeah.
You think high schools have good linemen?
Right.
These guys are 190 pounds.
Yeah. I think the one thing with the Canes, though, is that historically, if you look in college, the teams that have the most success are teams that have veteran offensive linemen. And they are starting some young guys. So you just have to hope to God that those guys kind of can all develop together and they can become a cohesive unit.
I started the show today just talking about the NFL apropos of nothing. Dan Orlovsky tweeted last night, enough is enough is enough, NFL officiating. I choose my words wisely and I love the NFL. You're ruining football for fans.
There's an overcorrection after the Rams-Saints game. There is. There's way too,
too many flags.
Yeah, and I think that that's part of the problem. I probably should have said that when we taped Highly Questionable because that would have been a very good way to just start that particular segment when we talked about flags. Should have thought of that a couple hours ago. But anyway, yeah, I think that's a huge problem. And by the way, the Lions, like, you can't absolve them. When you have Aaron Rodgers down like that early and your defense is playing that well, you got to be able to capitalize on that. And Matt Stafford just did a Matt Stafford, basically, and couldn't close the game.
Yeah, we were talking earlier in the show, too. Nate Burleson, I was watching him on Good Morning Football today. And he's like, hey, you know, I'm a huge Lions fan. He said, but I told, what are you looking at?
Tyler Herro on the jump today. Mm-hmm. He's not physically, but they're talking about him. That's good.
Scored the first 14 points last night. Twitter exploded.
They're in the C block. This is the beginning of the second half of the show. That's good show positioning is all I'm saying.
And he's getting some national pub, but you know what's going to happen now? I think Mike Inglis said it to us. Like, now he ends up on scouting reports,
yes.
Like the defense on Tyler Herro becomes completely different than what you've seen in summer league in the three exhibition games.
Yeah, for sure. Jimmy said that the other day in the locker room too. So we'll see how teams adjust to him.
But anyway, Nate Burleson was saying on Good Morning Football today, he's like, I'm a huge Lions fan. I'd love to, blame the officiating, but the truth is, I said that Saints fans overreacted. It's not one play that changes the outcome of a game. And he said, so I'm going to stay consistent with that. But the officiating, there is a problem now. They're throwing too many flags. There could be a penalty on every single down if you wanted to call one.
It's funny. I was just at the NBA meetings on yesterday, and about 30 or 40 minutes of that was talking to Monty McCutcheon, who is now the lead. He runs the Referees Association in the NBA. And I think the NBA, it felt like maybe they kind of overcorrected on some stuff too. Like they're looking to be, I guess, more efficient when doing this stuff, too. Because I think that that's happened a lot with replay now, is that we've become too reliant upon it. And I think that's a problem.
That was what I said about the NFL right now. The refs have always been terrible back to the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
We just don't have 85-inch screens with high definition.
There's that, and there's the other part. The refs, too, though, there is something to this. John Parry, who's our ESPN kind of like referee guru guy on TV, he's on the Monday night broadcast. He was on with Mike Golic and Trey Wingo today, and he said that when he got to the NFL, he had already been in college reffing the Big Ten for 18 years, and that it took him 2 or 3 years to get used to the speed, and he made the joke about 3 yards in a cloud of dust, so of course it would take him a little longer than most, but that the average amount of time that NFL referees are spending in college now is only down to 6 years. So, of course, they're going to have trouble kind of adjusting to the speed.
You had a moment last night where one official was motioning for a touchdown
and the other
official
down.
Was saying first down
the other team, right.
For Green Bay. It was confusing. You going to stick with us one more segment or you got to go?
Yeah, I got
All right, George Sedano from ESPN going to hang with us one more segment here.
Y'all got to get down and holler at my homeboy Eric Nunez at Lubacro Coconut Creek Chevrolet. This amazing dealership has that award-winning lineup of Chevrolets. Y'all seen them on the road. They are beautiful. And Lubacro will save you thousands more than any other dealer, not in this city, not in the state, but in the nation. Other dealers bring their moms and their wives and their husbands to Eric because he can hook them up better than they can hook themselves up. And Lubac Road is your Silverado headquarters. I'm a pickup truck guy. Pickup truck guys and gals, if you have not seen the 2019 Silverado, check it out. They are amazing. Find new roads, but don't overpay. Why would you go anyplace else if you're in the market for a new car? Go see Eric Nunez. Go see his award-winning team with an award-winning lineup of cars and trucks at a beautiful dealership. See how dealerships are really supposed to be run, and you're service is going to be amazing as well. They're conveniently located off 441 just south of the Sawgrass Expressway and online at CoconutCreekChevrolet.com. Lou Backrow, Coconut Creek Chevrolet, find new roads.
George Sedano will hang with us. One more segment with Sedano. It's like a little throwback feeling for a lot of listeners here in South Florida. Take a quick break. Come back with more Hockman and Crowder.
So you definitely pick the music, right, Hawk? Because this isn't Crowder's kind of music.
I don't. Solana gets free reign on the music, and so he's got themes for every day. You want to guess what today's theme is? Just throwback 90s jams.
Oh, is that it?
90s jams, yeah. Play a little tub thumping earlier.
Jesus Jones. I haven't heard this song since
I was
like in
high school. It's a great song. It's a banger.
What's his name?
Jesus Jones, the group.
I don't like that. Yeah. I'm a Christian, George.
But Fatboy Slim also has a song called Right Here, Right Now.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is Wrap It Up Wednesday.
Yes.
Okay.
Tomorrow's Wrap It Up Wednesday. All sex songs tomorrow. Wrap It Up Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. Baby making music.
Thursday is my day, Throwback Thursday.
Yeah?
Those are the days where I sometimes have to text him some songs because if I don't, we end up hearing Wham Rap like six times. Like, he thinks that was a hit. It was never a hit back in the 80s.
You remember that, George.
No.
Tell him.
No, nobody remembers
that.
Nobody. Awful song. Yeah. And then Fridays, Perreo Fridays.
Perreo?
Oh, yeah. He throws it down on Fridays.
Yeah?
Like, he knows what he's doing on Fridays.
Okay.
That's my favorite day.
Yeah. This hour brought to you by Toyota of Hollywood. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. George Sedano from ESPN hosts a radio show every day on ESPN Los Angeles. As well, do you do your show in Los Angeles while you're here in Miami?
So right now it's actually a perfect time because my show is on the West Coast is being preempted by the Major League Baseball postseason.
Ah, gotcha.
So I have very little shows in October. It's like a nice vacation month.
LeBron aside with his comments and whatnot, because we don't get into it. We just like to laugh and have fun on this show.
Yeah.
Lakers fans are expecting what this season?
Championship. It's
gotta be championship.
Yeah, they expect the championship. If they don't get a title this year, because LeBron's window is closing. Let's face it. I mean, he's got maybe two more years of being LeBron, and then at that point, there's going to be a decline. I don't care who you are. At 37 years old, you can't keep this up. And so they know that the window's is closing with him, and then it's about what else you can add to this roster to help Anthony Davis out. Because I don't see Anthony Davis. I think they're going to play through Anthony Davis. LeBron is going to make Anthony Davis look unbelievable, unlike he's ever looked in other places. But I don't know if when LeBron is on the decline, if Anthony Davis can be the guy to carry them. I don't know if he's that guy, because at the end of the day, as a big man, and he's not the traditional big man because he had this crazy growth spurt in high school where he went from like 6'3 to like 6'11 one summer. So he has handle for a big man, but at the end of the day, he's not initiating offense. Like, he needs someone to get him the ball.
And George, does it look bad if the Clippers that play in the same arena, if they're the ones that knock off the Lakers? Does that look worse?
So here's the deal. 90% of L.A. are Laker fans, and then the 10% are Clipper fans. And nothing pisses Laker fans off more than when the Clippers are good. Like, they're not even like a stepchild. They are the adopted brother you didn't want, right? Like, that's basically what they are. So if they're good, It is visceral, the reaction from Laker fans. Like, how dare they be good?
They are going to be good, too. Yes. We were talking during the commercial break. George was saying he doesn't know if the Pelicans are a playoff team, right? We talked about it at the top of the 3 o'clock hour here. Zion Williamson being a game changer and number one pick, and you don't know if they'll be a top 8 seed in the West.
The West is a bloodbath, man. Like, it is. Like, I don't think there's going to be a 60-win team in the West this year because I think it's just going to be that competitive. Now, they can be able to feast on some of the Eastern teams, but even the East, like, okay, Philly and Milwaukee are clearly the two best teams, but after that, like, there's a grouping there of, like, the Heat, the Celtics, right, that are going to be pretty good. I think the Nets are going to be in that mid-40s win area.
Toronto does anything.
I think Toronto's
without,
in the mid-40s, yeah. Right? Like, there's that next group that's pretty good, right? Like, they're not pushovers. They'll beat some West teams. So I just think that part is competitive. Like, the trash teams in the NBA are the Knicks, the Hornets, Cleveland is going to be bad. And then I guess there's like a grouping in between in the East where Chicago and Atlanta are like really young and they're like 2 years away from being pretty good.
Now, you think the Heat, though, you said it earlier, and for people that are just joining us, George Sedano's in studio with us. He's taking off after this segment. But you said you think the Heat could be anywhere from, what, a 3 to a 6 seed?
Three to a six. I think that their ceiling is a 3, their floor
Philadelphia,
is a 6.
Milwaukee, far and away, yes. the cream of the crop in the East.
I think Philly's going to the finals. As
really?
Long as they don't have a major injury, I think that they are going to the finals. They have the deepest team.
And with the Heat, what players – take them from 3 to 6? Is a Hero working out? Is
yes.
it Winslow taking the next step? What
yeah.
players are going to push them up?
It's Hero, Bam, and Winslow. It's those three guys taking a step forward. If they can take another leap, then I think that they can be the 3 seed, because Boston right now is going to be atrocious on defense, particularly up front. They're going to have to depend on Robert Williams, who's a really young player, who that's the kid that lost his wallet and his ID a couple years ago. Do you remember that story?
I remember that story.
Yeah, it's kind of a funny story. You should Google it. Like, they drafted him. He was trying to get to Boston. He missed his press conference because he lost his wallet.
I do remember
that
story.
Yeah, it just was ridiculous. He's a pretty good defensive player, but I don't know if they trust him. He may be one of those like token starters where you play him for 4 minutes and that's kind of the end of it, and just because, and just kind of see how it goes because they don't trust him. They need to make a deal, I think, Boston. And here's – so this is not me reporting anything. So if anyone who's listening doesn't want to aggregate this, all of a sudden I end up on like some blog that says ESPN's George Sedano is reporting on the Hockman and Crowder show. No, I just think they're going to make a deal. And if there is anyone that I think they could get, I think it's someone like Blake Griffin. Watch out for something like that.
When you talk about making a deal, the Heat Nation is still got ideas about who? Bradley Beal, Solana.
Well, Tyler Hero will look great in D.C. when Bradley Beal is a member
of
the Miami Heat.
So that seems to be a point of conversation for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Would you make that trade?
100%, because you're hoping that Tyler Hero becomes Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal has just turned 26 years old. He is just starting to hit his prime now. That's who you want him to eventually be. Why not get the guy you want him to be?
Would you take that deal, Solana?
In a second.
Okay,
in a second.
Good.
Really? Oh,
most
I
people
did not
say
think
no.
You would.
My friends in my group chat on my WhatsApp, they're fighting me on this.
Well,
all
you
day.
Remember? I remember years ago when the Bulls had a chance to get Kobe and they didn't want to let go of Luol Deng.
So I remember when the Heat traded Caron Butler, Lamar Odom, and Brian Grant for Shaq. People here didn't want that to happen, and that turned out okay.
Yeah,
so,
you kind of have to go with the known quantity versus what
correct.
Somebody could be.
Correct.
What about Chris Paul?
Oh, no. Please, no, George.
I like Chris Paul a lot. Like, I do.
He makes you better immediately. There's no question.
Does, but I think that the Heat have bigger plans than that. I think that, all right, you want me to get you excited?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I don't know this. I haven't talked to Pat or Andy Ellisberg or Spo or anyone.
Put this in the headlines at 4 o'clock.
This is what I – just knowing how the Heat organization works, this is my thinking. I think that they're going to try to trade for Bradley Beal and then leave a max slot open to give themselves a shot at Giannis or Kawhi or Paul George in the summer of 21, those type of guys that are going to be available. And here's an interesting
LeBron.
Anecdote. Yeah, I don't know about LeBron at that stage. But here's an interesting anecdote. Alex Serratis, who is the agent for Giannis Antetokounmpo, the only other than the Antetokounmpo brothers, he's got a lot of like middling players, like lower level, maybe borderline NBA players. The only other legit NBA player that Alex Serratis has on his roster, Bam Adebayo.
Huh.
So there is a relationship there already if you're the Miami Heat. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. So before Ira starts, you know, feverishly tweeting about this or, oh, my God, I can't believe George Sedano on ESPN.
Hold on, we've got breaking news or something. We got action, Jack.
No, you know? I'm just excited because Sedano's reporting on the Super Bowl coming to Miami.
Wow, things are happening for us.
So I just think that they're – I think if Antetokounmpo doesn't – here's what my colleague Malika Andrews reported at the end of the postseason last year. And if you remember, Giannis was doing a postgame interview. She asked a question. He walked off because she had dropped a story as the buzzer hit, basically. It's not her fault. That's what the company did. that had in it that a source close to Giannis said that if they don't make the finals, the Bucks, don't make the finals this year, that they could see him exploring his opportunities and not signing the extension that he
can sign.
Because
he was pretty clear that he was going to stay there.
Right, but that story changed things a little bit. So something to watch out for if you're a Heat fan. If the Bucks don't make the finals and Giannis doesn't sign that extension, all hell's going to break loose next year.
So we need to root for, obviously, the Pittsburgh Steelers to have an awful rest of the season because it's a higher draft pick for the Dolphins. We need to root for the Bucks to have an awful season and to have a lot of discord on the team so that Giannis wants to get out of there.
I think they're going to regress. I don't think they're – you know, last year they were a 60-win team. I think they're about a 50-51-win team. I don't know if those guys around him are as good – as they played last year. I think they played over their head. I think if Eric Bledsoe is your third best player, you're not a championship team. Like, he's just not reliable enough.
George Sedano, ESPN, ESPN Los Angeles. You'll see him all over the place.
And
during
it'll be ESPN Miami again when Giannis and Beal and Butler are playing together.
Yes, basketball season. What do you miss most about Miami? So you come into town for a couple of weeks. Where are some of the places that you have to go?
Well, I definitely have to do, like, the Cuban food, like La Carreta or, like, Versailles or Vicky Bakery or something. Though I did see Vicky Bakery has vegan Cuban bread.
I saw you tweet that at Mike Ryan.
Yes, so Mike Ryan.
That can't be good.
I haven't tried it, but I will. Here's the thing. I tried one of those Beyond Meat patties. My wife cooked it. And if you wouldn't have told me it wasn't a burger, like a regular burger, I probably wouldn't have noticed. But I would say the difference is it doesn't have, like, the burger juice, right? Yeah. It's a little drier. But if you dress it up with ketchup and mustard and I put it in a bun and I didn't tell you, you'd eat it. Like, you wouldn't know that it's that different.
Think are going to Vicky Bakery? Like, out of 1,000?
Well, Carlos Frias of the Miami Herald wrote a story that people are going. The reason they're doing it is because people were asking for it.
Really?
So they're making fun of me saying I'm Hollywood George and I'm now a vegan, you know, or whatever. So that's why I tweeted that to him. I thought it was funny.
What else? Where else do you have to go when you're in Miami?
Garcia's Seafood on the River. That place is a staple for me every time. Luis Garcia and his family. I mean, that thing's been owned for like 50 years, like family owned. So, yeah, like, just the Cuban spots, because there's only one place in Southern California that I go to for Cuban food. It's a place called Tropicana, and it's like 30 miles from my house. It's not close by any stretch of the imagination. My son's first birthday, we catered it from there, and they delivered it, thankfully, to us.
It's all Mexican food in Los Angeles,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and it's the best Mexican food you'll ever eat, and you don't have to go to, like, the fancy schmancy places. Like, there's this place called Javier's that's, like, super fancy. There's one in Vegas, too, at the Aria. But you could just go to a taco truck, man, and get you some of the best Mexican food you've ever had there for like $5. So,
what about In-N-Out Burger? Are you a fan?
Yeah, In-N-Out Burger's cool. Like, I'm good. I like In-N-Out Burger. To me, is like Steak and not Steak and Shake. Shake Shack. To me, they're very similar. You know,
not overrated. A lot of people think that In-N-Out
properly
Burger's
rated. It's fast food.
Properly rated. That's actually a good term.
Yeah.
Properly rated.
I like that.
It is properly rated. All right, George Sedano, thank you for joining us. And
see you, boys. Love
watch them all over ESPN during basketball season. They work the hell out of you, man.
They do. I've got 7 games in the first month of the season, the first 5 weeks of the season. By the way, watch Highly Questionable at 4:30 on ESPN today. Me and Izzy Gutierrez are on with Poppy.
All right, you keep the radio on.
Just
the,
next time you're around Doris Burt, give her a hug for me.
I will. I do that
I
all the time
love
anyway.
Doris.
She's the best.
She is the best.
She's the queen.
I love listening to her call a game.
You learn stuff.
You do. Her and Hubie Brown for sure. Like, there's not a time they're not on that you don't learn. And she still got handles, dog. Like, I'm telling you. Oh, a ball flew at her. I did a game with her the last season where somebody was throwing a ball, like, to one of the ball boys to put on the rack. She caught it, went behind the back in heels, and started going behind the back and dribbling through her legs. Like, it was insane what she was able to do.
So where's your first game this season?
Lakers, Jazz at Lakers, October 25th, so next Friday. That's my first game. And then I've got a bunch of Lakers, Clippers, Warriors. I got a couple Zion games. I got Zion on Christmas and Thanksgiving Eve.
All right, there you go. George Sedano, you see him all over ESPN. Thank you for spending an hour with us.
Absolutely, boys, anytime.
Genuinely appreciate it. All right, we got a lot of stuff to get to. We'll get to the DBJ calls in the 4 o'clock hour. We will play Cheers 2 in the 4 o'clock hour as well. Now, I know a lot of listeners are going to thank me when they hear this message, so I want you to listen closely. If you're still paying hundreds of dollars a month for Viagra or Cialis, I have some great news. My friends at Mens.com are helping listeners with generic Viagra or Cialis for a fraction of the cost. And then there's always that first question, how can they do that? Well, Mens.com took out the middleman. They bought the pharmacy, and the pharmacy's right here in the good old US of A. This is FDA approved stuff. And since they own the pharmacy, that keeps prices down. So honestly, if you're already spending hundreds of dollars a month, you're crazy, because the way to go is mens.com. Now, for a limited time, they'll give you your online medical evaluation for free. And they're offering an additional 50% off your first month. That's incredible. So a doctor will review your questionnaire. If you're eligible, you'll be cleared. You'll be good to go. They deliver your meds conveniently and discreetly to your front door. No trips to the doctor's office. No embarrassing conversations. The online process is quick and easy. And again, right now, take advantage of this special offer. 50% off your first month. Guys, sometimes you need a little help. There's no shame in that. So whether you want the convenience where it's just shipped to you, or you just want to save some money, or you've just been curious about the benefits of generic Viagra or Cialis, mens.com is for you. And again, it's FDA approved. So don't wait. Get that 50% off the first month offer going. Mens.com. M-E-N-S. Mens.com. Quick break. We'll come back with more Hockman and Crowder.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.